I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Sports Virgins, the podcast from Pomodo, where a pair of total sport novices, that's me, Amy Vose.
And me, Matt Richardson.
Get to learn all about the world of sport. On this week's episode, we discuss Wayne Rooney's condemnation.
How did he condemn them? Did he say on Instagram, it's Millwall, Formula One conspiracies?
I think that's very plausible. It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo. And Logan Paul.
Privileged young white man, gets given loads of money, thinks he can do anything, has decided to box Floyd Mayweather.
Now, just before we get going, Sports Virgins, we did have some technical issues this week, so we do apologise for any weird-sounding gremlins throughout this episode, as clearly Sports Virgins, unlike regular virgins, struggle with tech. Welcome back, Sports Virgins. Can I just apologise, because I am aware that I haven't yet sent you a video of me nutmegging, which I did promise I was going to do in the last episode, but turns out nutmegging's really hard.
So Is it hard, or is it hard for people like us?
Well, you know, it's having the opportunity where there's something on the street to kick through someone's legs, or like having a ball that's available. You know, I know I said I was going to try and nutmeg my boyfriend, but the opportunity just hasn't arisen. But I'm still focused on it. We'll get there. But
has there been a moment where you nearly went for it, and what was that thing?
I thought about it when I was walking up the street and there was a lad in front of me and there was some litter on the floor, and I thought, I'm going to attempt it. And then I bottled it, basically. You've got to have some real, you've got to have some minerals, haven't you? So I ended up picking the litter up instead and putting it in the bin. So not quite.
Pink mum, that is from you.
Isn't it?
So I'll just pick it up.
So yeah, I think I'll work on it. You know, I think you've got to be quite brave, because the problem is if you kick a can and it hits someone's feet, then you've got a tricky situation and you can't see the person in front. You don't really know, like, yeah, you know, how they're going to react.
It's meant to be humiliating, so you don't want to humiliate a stranger, do you?
Yeah, not really.
And deal with the consequences of that.
I feel like people are going through enough at the moment to be nutmegged by a stranger.
That might be the moment that tips someone over the edge in 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Bide your time and get your boyfriend. The time will be right one day and you'll go for it, and it'll be the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah, well, I think also he'll...
the best thing she's ever done.
He listens to this podcast now, so he'll be hyper aware that he's going to get nutmegged at any given point. Right. So I feel like he's unaware. But so maybe if I'll, you know, like you say, bide your time, the next few weeks is going to happen.
It'll be even better if he's aware of it.
Exactly. But yeah, any other sporting endeavours occurred this week? Matt, have you got stuck into anything or managed to avoid a lot?
Oh my, I mean, you know what? It's been wall-to-wall sport for me this week. It's been lockdown's over, you're allowed back to the football, and I thought, thank bloody God, because, you know, what was I doing before? Just sat at home not watching the football live. So now I'm at the football, I'm doing all the chants. I tried my new one about a MacBook that I opened last week. It went down like a sack of shit, not going to lie. But yeah. Sport. That's my life now.
I think you would have been proud of me at the weekend, because I was at my boyfriend's family's house and they're all really into the rugby. And obviously I'm not particularly bothered. And I think there's quite a big game and they were like, oh, look, we'll get you another chair. Come and watch. I went, no, do you know what? It's okay. I'm just going to sit at the table and read the papers. So the game was on in the room and they all sat round and I just sat at the other side of the room reading the papers. So
I thought you didn't leave the room though.
No, I can't leave the room. I thought that's really antisocial. I'll be sitting on my own. So I'll just passively avoid it.
Don't worry, Matt. I'll avoid any questions related to the rugby in the weekend. So you're not at a disadvantage there.
So Dylan, I imagine there's a lot of sporting news that we've missed in the last week. So do fill us in.
Yeah, there was a lot of sport going on over the weekend, but no sort of major news stories, really. I guess the biggest thing is that the crowds returned to football, which is a big, you know, stepping stone to normality, I suppose, but only in the tier two places, though. So I think only, I think maybe six of the Premier League matches were allowed crowds in.
Okay.
And how did they allow, because they were only allowed a certain amount. So was it just first come, first serve? Is it season ticket holders or something?
Well, I think most clubs maybe did a slightly different process, but most of them did a ballot for most of the season ticket holders. So basically all the season ticket holders, they draw names out of a hat and those 2,000 people went. But once you're in and you go to that game, you're not allowed to go to the next ones until all the season ticket holders have
right.
been done.
I'm just happy that finally all these footballers can experience what I experience at almost every gig I play, with it being only a quarter full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turns out I've been socially distancing on my tours for years.
Did you see the Millwall fans? They booed the Black Lives Matter taking the knee.
Yeah. What?
I mean,
it's just, can you not just let them have them? What, you know, what's their sort of justification for this? Because they're obviously not going, oh, it's because we're racist. So what's their
I don't know. I mean, it's typical, really, that, you know, it's meant to be a positive thing that crowds are left back in and you can only choose 2,000 people. And, you know, it wasn't just one or two people. Quite a large proportion of that 2,000 in Millwall decide to, you know, make a stand against a pretty good cause. So, yeah, that's probably the most negative news story of the weekend.
Can I ask a question about Millwall, which might be a bit risky considering I'll probably get hate mail or something, but are they notoriously quite an Aggie team, quite a rough team in that, like...
Yeah, you're right. And I think Aggie is probably the nicest compliment they've ever heard.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a diplomatic way of phrasing it, but
they are probably the team that's most associated with crowd trouble and violence and racism and all that kind of stuff for some reason.
Why do they like it? I don't really understand with this. Why is that such a big part of that crowd's experience of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I've got no idea. But some people, maybe they don't actually care that much about football. They just want an outlet to, you know, be violent and put, you know, give their hatred out there. But yeah, it's very
bizarre. Like a tribalism type thing. They're like, oh, we'll all meet here and just fight.
How weird that they've picked football. Like, really, they could have picked anything. Like, they could have all decided that they love Les Mis and gone and done that there.
Yeah, but what are they going to get angry about at Les Mis? They need an outlet.
Well, Jean Valjean being in prison for 19 years.
Well...
But anyway, so the worst thing for Millwall was that they got publicly condemned by Wayne Rooney.
Ooh.
So Rooney was the manager of Derby County, who Millwall were playing the game. So there was a relevance to him, but, you know, it gets to something when Rooney is the one that's publicly condemning you for doing
that. How did he condemn them? Did he say on Instagram, it's ... Millwall.
No, that would be good. He's not that clever, though, I don't think. But the other... sort of football news. Leicester scored a last minute winner. So let's take the Leicester box now.
Leicester.
So any guesses who scored the last minute winner?
Gary Lineker.
Okay. So it was Jamie Vardy.
Of course it was Jamie Vardy. And always Jamie Vardy.
And the reason I bring this up.
Is he a good player? Or is he just like a local boy that done good kind of thing?
No, he's really good.
Okay, I know nothing about it.
I think Jamie Vardy's story is going to be a best-selling movie in years to come because you're right, man. He was non-league. He was shit for many years. And then he climbed the ranks and he got, you know, up to the Premier League with Leicester and he became, you know, he won the league. He played for England, became the top goal scorer in England. And then you add in his misses and Rooney's misses as a backstory.
Yes.
That's got a Hollywood movie written all over it.
Really has, actually. There's something for everyone in that. I'd watch that. And also some great back shots of Leicester, hopefully. Imagine.
That's that famous skyline.
Yeah, exactly. So and, I'm excited.
He seems to be a little bit of a toe rag, Vardy. Not that I know him too well. But so the reason I mentioned the last minute winner is because he was so excited. He slid in the corner as they do to celebrate. But he basically kicked the corner flag and smashed it to bits.
I mean, this is the man, right, that coined the phrase, chat shit, get banged.
That is him. Yeah, that's him.
Did you know that, Matt?
Did he coin that phrase or did he just sort of like really take it for his own?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just associate chat shit get banged with Jamie Vardy.
That's like, do you remember, like, do you have younger siblings, both of you?
No,
I'm the youngest.
Okay, well, my little brother used to come home from school when he went to secondary school being like, you want to hear this this joke we all invented? And then it's always something that you said at secondary school. Yeah. I think Jamie Vardy's a bit like that with chat shit get banged. He's like, well, I invented this phrase. We're like, I think people were saying chat shit get banged anyway, weren't they, Jamie? Oh. You just think it's your generation.
He's given it some real ownership, hasn't he? I don't know how you hijack a phrase.
I bet he's copyrighted it.
Maybe. I mean, why wouldn't you copyright that?
It's like in the way that Mo Farah thinks that putting your hands on your head is his thing that only he does.
The Mobot. What's the Sky One programme with James Corden as the host, football one?
A League of Their Own.
Yeah, A League of Their Own. So,
if we're going to list TV shows that have said I'm not allowed on them, let's go for it. Come on, A League of Their Own.
Why? Why are you not allowed on it? What have you done? What have you done, Matt?
It's more what I haven't done to be at a point where they'll book me.
Oh, okay.
But that's the origin of the Mobot. Mo Farah was on it just before London 2012, and James Corden was trying to say, okay, we're going to give you... Because, you know, Usain Bolt does that kind of celebration.
What is that? Yeah, that thing, yeah.
They were trying to get Mo to do something similar, and Corden came up with the Mobot on that show. Then Mo Farah did it, and then that's his thing from then on.
God, you've got so much knowledge about these things. I'm really impressed you just knew that.
We'll move on to more boxing news. So we had some boxing news last week about a farcical exhibition fight, but there's another one this time, but it hasn't happened yet. So you may have seen the news for this. It's got announced that Floyd Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul. Now, do you know who either of these people are?
I know who Floyd Mayweather is. Logan Paul rings a bell. Is he an actor?
No, he's a YouTuber. Him and his brother Jake Paul are, I would say safely, two of the worst human beings ever born. But they've got this weird thing, these YouTubers, where it almost feels like to make money, because they can't do anything. They can't sell tickets to have people come and watch them do nothing. So they've all gotten into boxing. KSI, the English YouTuber, who's actually seems quite cool, he fought Logan Paul, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, twice.
And then now Logan Paul, this classic thing, privileged young white man gets given loads of money, thinks he can do anything, has decided to box Floyd Mayweather.
I mean, he's absolutely not going to win that. Obviously not. No way.
Well, nah, Floyd Mayweather is past his prime, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But he's still regarded as, you know, probably the best out there. Floyd Mayweather is unbeaten in boxing. He then fought Conor McGregor. Do you know Conor McGregor, the UFC?
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, that was a bit of a...
What happened?
Mayweather won quite easily. But he pocketed a casual $230 million for that.
Sorry, how much?
$230 million.
How? How is there that much money to pocket?
Well, pay-per-view, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is factually correct, but it was definitely one of the biggest pay-per-view fights.
$230 million, I would box Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wonder how much is this Logan getting for it? Do we know?
Yeah, it hasn't been mentioned yet. Obviously, I think that's still to come, but I was trying to look into that. But Mayweather also then fought a Japanese kickboxer last year. For $9 million. He beat the guy in 140 seconds. The guy was a bit of a joke. Do you know what Floyd Mayweather's nickname is? You know boxers always have cool nicknames, don't they?
Yeah.
No, I forgot.
It's quite apt based on what the $230 million is. Floyd Money Mayweather.
Oh, yeah. I read an amazing thing about him recently, that because he always is going around like dressed like a piece of designer luggage, isn't he? He's always got like loads of logos on him and things and always carries around like wads of $100 bills. I read this thing that apparently it's only the top and the bottom that are $100 bills and the rest are $1, and it's because he's worried about being mugged for it.
Well, that's ridiculous because that's not going to stop him getting mugged, because that's still giving the impression he's got hundreds of dollars of bills. So no one would know that. So he's not really thought that through, has he?
And he's a boxer.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's, ultimately, who's going to mug Floyd Mayweather?
So for Floyd Mayweather, you know, because there's got to be a point, he doesn't need the money anymore, but obviously he loves the money. That's his thing. So, but I don't know. Does it start to make boxing a little less credible that it'll just take on anyone? Or is he just like, does he want to prove I can literally box and beat anyone?
Well, first of all, for Mayweather, he retired many years ago saying, I've got to 50. I'm unbeaten. I've beaten everybody.
Is he
50 fights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So 50 unbeaten fights. I think he's 43-ish. And he retired basically saying, I'm not going to do any more. But then McGregor called him out and he got offered $230 million. And you think, well, actually, for one fight, why the hell not? So if he keeps being offered these ridiculous fees, then why not? But you're right, it does totally devalue boxing. And a lot of the purists in the boxing world think it's an absolute farce and it's a bit of a circus that it's being turned into.
Yeah, I mean, it does sort of make the sport look stupid that you're letting anyone fight the greatest fighter of all time.
Yeah, like a YouTuber as well. I mean, yeah, has he literally just started boxing from nowhere? Has he always boxed or something?
No, it's just literally, I think, a way for them to make money. Like, it's quite a cynical reason they've done it. It feels a bit icky. It's a sport where they literally beat each other to a pulp and people don't remember their own names. So, you know.
Yeah. But it could be good for you, Matt, because what you'll probably see is Floyd Mayweather knocking this guy out, which might be quite satisfying. So for you,
absolutely.
If you're not a fan.
I was really worried then. You're like, well, this might be good for you because obviously, you know, comedy's not really working anymore. So maybe
you should do boxing.
Maybe you should just get beaten up by Floyd Mayweather for money.
$230 million, I'd be in the ring.
I wouldn't even throw a punch for that money. I would let him kick me to death.
So that's the boxing. Also, following up from a Formula One story from last week, there's another story in the Formula One this week where Lewis Hamilton was out of the Grand Prix with COVID. So he was tested positive for COVID, so he missed the Grand Prix. First one to have missed one. So what Mercedes did was they basically took one of the drivers from one of the shitter teams and stuck him in Lewis Hamilton's car and said, off you go, have a go.
And how did he do? Tell me he was brilliant. Tell me he was absolutely brilliant.
Well, he only had 2 days to prepare and he's 5 inches taller than Lewis Hamilton. So these cars are built and molded to fit the shape of the driver. So, you know, that's going to be tricky to begin with. But he actually did very well. He was leading the race. He was going to win. And then the mechanics basically messed up and put the wrong tires on his car during the pit stop. So that demoted him to fifth.
Yes. Real error. What, like got the ones from Ferrari or something? Oh, sorry, just got the wrong tires.
Yeah, I think the tires were meant to be for the other driver.
That's really cool, though, that he was leading because he obviously, it's not like he started way back. Could he start in Lewis's position? He had to qualify.
Yeah, so he qualified well. He started in second, I think. So he did really well. Basically, it just goes to show the importance of the car because he'll now go back into his old car and he'll be battling for like 17th position every single week.
And doesn't that show Lewis Hamilton up a bit that it's like, oh, it is just the car a lot of the time?
Do you think that's why they put the wrong tyres on it? Because all of a sudden, like, Lewis was going to feel a bit bad about himself. Yeah, he was a bit too good. So I think it probably is a conspiracy because Lewis Hamilton is like the greatest ever, pretty much, isn't he?
Well, most wins. I know what my brother's like, many F1 purists wouldn't say he was, they'd say like Senna was the greatest ever.
Okay. But
I think he's had the most wins now, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's like when Ant and Dec, like when Ant took some time off and everyone was like, oh my God, they can't do it not together. And then Holly Willoughby came in and everyone was like, oh, like it's fine. Like, it's not some magic formula. They're just...
I love your comparisons, forever bringing sport and comparing it to pop culture.
Well, especially I'm trying ITV. To understand. Yeah, if anyone who works for ITV1's listening, I'm incredibly on brand. Please, can you employ me again? That would be lovely.
So do we think, you know, with mechanics often wear like lots of protective clothing and you'd assume that Hamilton with COVID, he would have to wear a mask. Do we think that maybe he was like, you know, in disguise in the garage and he was the one that sneakily changed the tyres?
I think that's very plausible. It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So it was actually Hamilton that, messed up.
That's a great conspiracy theory, Dylan, and I am backing it.
I'm all here for it.
So good on George Russell. You know, I think he's tipped to become the next star. So, you know, in the next few years, once Lewis Hamilton maybe retires or whatever or moves on,
is he a British driver or
he
did
is,
you say George?
Yeah, he's a Brit, yeah. Ooh. George Russell, yeah. So
exciting.
And then the newest news story of the week that we came in last night that you may have seen because it appeared on the mainstream news is that some of the new sports have been announced for the Olympics in 2024. Ooh. So did you see this new story?
No.
I saw one of the sports, which I'm particularly excited about, but not the others.
Please inform me.
So the others were surfing, skateboarding and climbing. So they're actually going to be in the Tokyo Olympics in 2021.
Sorry, are a load of 12-year-old boys currently in charge of picking the sports for the Olympics?
Where are they going to do surfing in Tokyo?
I mean, they've had years to prepare. They've either built something ready-made for it or...
one of those wave machines. I used to have one at my local swimming centre. They could use one of those, maybe. That could work.
Yeah, just in a swimming pool or the wave machine.
They can be terrifying.
So the new one for 2024 is going to be breakdancing.
This is so brilliant.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, you heard breakdancing.
So at the moment, is there any kind of league for breakdancing as it is?
A league?
I don't know. Or like, you know, if you're good at breakdancing, enter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Britain's Got Talent. That's, literally it at the moment. Imagine that. The only people that, we've won a gold medal and Britain's Got Talent.
That's quite something. God, if you're a breakdancer, this is huge. I mean, we're all a breakdancer. We've all had a go, right? So... I feel like this opens up the field a little bit.
Matt, you must have had a go at a wedding. Come on. What's been your best breakdancing move?
Well, you know, I would have a go at a wedding, but I'm actually keeping my amateur status in the hope of entering the Olympics, and a wedding would technically be a professional gig. So I'm not doing it. I'm just really chuffed because I think we can all agree the Olympics does need more diversity.
Here we go.
Clever.
That's me. I'm not going to say anything else for the podcast. That's me done. So
could diversity, I mean, they're more than breakdancers, aren't they? But could they enter or no, because they are already professional? Is that what you're saying? Do you have to be amateur status?
Yeah, I mean...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the Olympics, you have to be amateurs. Yeah, you can't be...
Oh.
Yeah.
This is fascinating because I guess this is the first time, because I would say it's an art form, not a sport.
But you say that, I'm going to watch it.
100%.
I mean, that is literally going to be they're just jazzing up the Olympics. And I am for that because I'll be honest, you know, I watch a bit of Usain Bolt, the 100 meters, but I'm not that interested. But breakdancing, yes. The exciting thing about breakdancing is obviously not just watching it will be good, but imagine like the outfits and like the music. It's going to really spice it up.
I think rather than adding sports, it should be a one-in, one-out policy. So you're like, right, this year, breakdancing's in, but sorry, hurdles.
Yeah. You're done.
Yeah.
I wonder this really opens it up, though. You know, what could they add next?
There's always, there's always like a big campaign, isn't there, for a lot of sports to get into the Olympics. Like, there was a massive controversy, I think, when snowboarding finally got added because it was seen as like a youth sport and not a real thing. So,
but that is something that I actually sat and watched. Because that's amazing.
Snowboarding's phenomenal. But like, there's even things like Frisbee wants to be part of the Olympics and like all these like weird little niche things. And I think, you know what? Just let those in and get rid of
the
old sports.
It's a bit stuffy. Who really wants to sit and watch? Let's be honest, people running around a track, a bit boring. So
we've seen
until we get near the end line. Yeah, exactly. I am all for this.
I think every year it should be just the weird thing. So like the winner of the hacky sack kicking competition and stuff like that.
Yes, I like that.
So a big thumbs up for breakdancing in the Olympics. We'll be looking forward to that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the last story we have is a bit of a silly one, bit of a funny one. I sent this around to you, so you may have seen it. A jockey called Oisin Murphy, Irish jockey, got banned for 3 months for testing positive for cocaine.
Oh, yes.
I did see this.
Yeah, naughty.
I did see this. You know what? One of my opinions about this is I think the jockeys should be able to take whatever drugs they want. It's the horses that you need to test.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you go to the races and the horse all of a sudden is coming out of the loo in a pair, then you're like, hang on, where's he been?
But I think what was quite funny about this story is his defense, wasn't it?
Yeah, he claimed he never took it, but he basically slept with a girl the night before who was a frequent occasional user of cocaine. And he somehow got it in his system.
Well, it's not COVID. It's not, you don't catch it by like kissing someone. I mean, you've got to come up with better than that.
Look, I mean,
say she put it in his drink or something. I don't know.
You know what it's like? You're on a one night stand, you go home, you're a bit drunk, you stick your tongue in her nostril. It's such a bullshit excuse, isn't it? It's like, oh, well, you know, I was around or near it, and I just looked down. I had to look really close at it to make sure.
I just wanted
what it
to check. I just gave it a little sniff to check what it was, to see if it was, you know, flour or something. Okay.
No, I think it's flour, but I really want to start a business with everybody. It's just look. He should also like. He's a jockey. Like he seems like quite a cool guy. When I've seen him do interviews, like he should just go. Yeah, you know what? I had a great evening. And I'm going to take the ban.
Well, he's already thrown in there that he slept with a girl. He didn't have to add that, did he? He could be like, oh, I was hanging around with a girl. But he was like, oh, I was with a lady, slept with a girl, didn't I? Lad. So he's already setting himself up.
Sorry, guys. I didn't realise being a legend was a banned substance.
That guy is going to be a legend, though. In 20 years' time, that story is going to be legendary. When the truth comes out.
It's always a bit like, you know, whenever like a Tory politician gets in trouble for something and they were like, I was actually helping a young gentleman to change a tyre, and all of a sudden his penis and balls fell into my mouth and a gib mask that was in the back of his car accidentally ended up on my head. And I understand how it looks. Like, it's just like, it's such.
Yeah.
But also like, we all know what happened. Why isn't he just going, yeah, I got caught out? Like, why is there always this bloody song and dance, and they don't ever tell the truth in sport? Like, it's ridiculous. It does
because do they think that by being a bit, they've got a responsibility? They're like, oh no, I have to make out that I absolutely was not compliant with drugs. Because is he hoping that I like what kind of ban did he get?
Maybe only 3 months. Only 3 months. I guess if he would have admitted it, he would have gone much longer. So I guess that's the trade-off.
Right. That's it, yeah.
I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem in jockeys taking recreational drugs.
Look, I mean, the thing is, like, as someone that, I mean, you know, doesn't know, but like when you leave when you leave Glastonbury on a Monday morning and you look around at everyone who's been taking drugs all weekend, that is not a performance enhancer, is it?
Like, it's going to make you worse.
Yeah, 100. You know what? Like, they should let them all. They should be like, we encourage you to, because it'll even the playing field a bit more.
Yeah, more for
every you. Like Usain Bolt. You've got to go out on a bender, so everyone else has got a chance. Right. Why am I not in charge of all sport? That's all I'm learning on this podcast. Is I've got the best ideas, and they should employ me more.
You're ready.
I'm ready. I've got a number. Let's get them all fucked.
Okay, well, we're fully informed of what's been going on over the last week. Now, let's hope that this guy's in a little bit of a calmer mood this week, because it's time for our very dear friend, Jürgen Klopp.
Hello, Spot Virgins. Jürgen Klopp here. This week's spotting jargon is golden goal.
So that was golden goal?
Correct.
Golden goal? Oh, I know what it is. I think I know what it is. Yeah, golden goal is when the game's ended, but it's at a draw, and the next whoever scores the next goal wins. Right? Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So it's also known as sudden death.
That's much more fun.
Sudden death.
Edgy.
So I mean,
actually,
in football,
is it more fun, or does it sound like Dermot O'Leary's going to announce it?
No, they used to call it a lockdown, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, on X Factor, lockdown.
It's time for a lockdown.
So goal and goal. In football, most of the time, if it's a draw, it goes to extra time, which means you play an extra 20 minutes or 30 minutes, however long. And then whoever's winning at the end of that is the winner. So in normal extra time, if you score a goal, the game continues for that fixed period of time. And then if it's a draw after that, it goes to a penalty shootout. But goal and goal, they trialed it in football a little bit, but they do it in other sports, whereby rather than the extra time of a fixed period of time, whoever scores the first goal in that extra period wins, basically.
It's a lot more exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's tense. You kind of, if you're not supporting either teams, it's fun to watch, but otherwise it's quite stressful. Is that what happened at the weekend with the rugby? Was that golden goal?
Oh, I thought you weren't watching, Amy.
I wasn't watching, but there's a lot of hysteria and shouting and like, and tension. So I'm just guessing.
It wouldn't be the golden goal, Amy, because in rugby they don't score goals.
The golden try or the golden, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really work with rugby, doesn't it? Anyway.
I think it was actually called sudden death. And it is what happened in the rugby, England, France. And Owen Farrell missed a kick that would have been the golden kick, I suppose, that to end the match. But then eventually he did kick one to win the game. So yeah, England won the Autumn Nations Cup on the weekend using the sudden death, which doesn't often happen in rugby. But it's a lot more exciting. But football, in the major tournaments, they've actually got rid of it. So they had it for a while, but they got rid of it and they've gone back to extra time and penalties. I'm not sure why.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants extra time. I mean, it's either sudden death or go straight to penalties. At least penalties is exciting. It's a bit more of a lottery, but...
Unless it's England playing, because that's never very favourable for us, let's be honest.
No, I mean, as a Welshman, I find it hilarious when England are in the penalty shootout, because...
Oh, of course.
Invariably, they're doomed to fail.
Oh, it's annoying, isn't it?
Ready on, Dylan.
I mean, this is something that I've heard someone else say, and I'm just going to repeat it like I know about football, but we really crumble when it comes to penalties, don't we?
Oh, you sounded so knowledgeable.
Did I?
Emma.
Did that sound legit?
Yeah, you really knew what you were talking about.
That felt amazing. I can't lie.
But England, though, in the last World Cup in Russia, they kind of exercised their demons a bit because they beat Colombia in the, I think it was the quarterfinal or the one before that. They won a penalty shootout. So it was a big sort of turning point for England that finally, a big game in a big tournament, they actually won a penalty shootout. So maybe in the next tournament, you know, they won't have that baggage anymore, but we'll see.
You know what? It's a shame to hear that Colombia are having a bad time in football when they're clearly having such a lovely time in horse racing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so thank you, Jorgen. So that's the golden goal. Hopefully you've learned something there, and hopefully we'll see some exciting golden goal or sudden deaths in sport over the next few weeks. So we'll move on to the quiz. So good old quiz Akabusi. The scores from last week were 38-34 to Amy. So Matt, Amy has taken the lead
it's
here.
It's starting to feel like she's creeping away from me a little bit. It's not all to play for anymore. I've got to have like a couple of absolute stonkers and she's got to have a couple of nightmares.
You need some golden goals. That's what you need, Matt.
I need some golden goals.
You do.
Don't worry, right. I've avoided some rugby questions in this one. So, Matt, this is your time to shine.
Lovely.
Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Question number one. What country is Michael Schumacher from? Okay, Matt.
Is he German?
Amy.
Germany.
Correct.
Ho, yes.
Good start. Question number two. Who has won the most football World Cups? I'll give you a clue. It's not Wales.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Let me just...
Delete. Delete your answer. Rub it out.
Okay, Amy?
Italy?
Matt?
Brazil?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
The answer is Brazil.
Damn it. That was a very good one.
Really?
Well done,
oh,
Matt.
My God. I'm so excited.
Okay. So, question number three. Which team plays the song I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles before a game? And this is not a trick question.
I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. What's that song?
I know. I don't know why I know this, but I think there is a reason.
Do you not
know
the I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles song? I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
I'm taking like a real stab in the dark.
Go on then. Take your guess.
Tottenham?
Okay, Amy.
I think I know this. I've never heard the song before, and the only reason I know it is thanks to David Brent in The Office, but it's West Ham, is it?
Correct, it is West Ham. Do you remember what the joke was that Brent just did?
Yeah, oh, I'm forever blowing bubbles. What was it?
Was it something along the lines of, what team does Michael Jackson support?
Yeah, something like that.
And the answer
was
West Ham, because he said, I'm forever blowing bubbles.
That's it, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Disgusting.
So yes, the answer to that question is West Ham. So well done, Amy. Point for you there. Question number four. Whose nickname is Psycho?
Oh, I know this.
I'll give you a clue. He also took a penalty in Euro 96 before Gareth Southgate.
Damn it, Gareth Southgate was my answer.
It's just your standard answer.
Okay, so Matt, is this a total guess for you?
I guessed Gareth Southgate because he was literally the only person I could think of.
Okay, Amy?
Stuart Pearce.
Correct. Stuart Pearce is known as Psycho, yeah.
Why?
Just because he was a bit of a hard nut and he's a bit of a psychopath on the pitch. He used to clatter people.
He used to get very veiny, didn't he? And like, come on. And like, yeah.
Very angry, yeah. Do you know, the best nickname in football, there's a guy that played for multiple clubs. I think he may have played for Portsmouth. He was called Fitz Hall. As in, Fitz Hall was his name. And his nickname was One Size.
Oh, nice.
You know what? Like, so my dad used to play football for Wantage, a little village team, for fun. And they all had amazing nicknames. There was a guy that played for them that was called 007 and a half. because he was called Roger Moore and he had a limp and a walking stick.
Maybe I'll add in a few more football or sporting
Please,
nicknames.
Football nicknames. Big
yeah,
fan.
I like that. I like that. Okay, I like that.
Okay. So question number five. What sport did Kobe Bryant play? Amy?
Basketball.
Matt?
Basketball.
Correct.
Yes.
Question number six. Where is Elland Road?
I thought you were going to ask, where is Ellen DeGeneres?
I did as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Liverpool?
Matt?
I've also written Liverpool.
Oh, no, it's Leeds.
I knew it was a northern town.
So question number seven. What sport did Rebecca Adlington play?
This is a trick question, the way you've worded this, because she played swimming.
She did play swimming. Amy, did you get that?
I did know she played some swimming, yeah.
Okay. Kind of well done. Well
trip
done.
Us up, you naughty boy.
Okay, question number eight. What's the name of the object that they hit over the net in badminton? Now, if you get this one wrong, you should have a two-game ban or a three-month ban. Do you know it?
Yeah.
Matt?
Shuttlecock.
Amy.
It is a shuttlecock.
Okay, bit of an easy one, that one, but I wasn't quite sure. After your performances in the last few weeks, I thought maybe you never
could have gone either way.
Okay, question number nine. Who is George Foreman?
Again, I know this for the wrong reasons.
Oh God, really grilling us, aren't you? That took about 8 seconds too long for me to do that.
Okay, so go on then. Who is he?
He's a boxer, but he makes grills. That's what he's really known for.
Yeah.
He was a boxer, yeah, but like, was he a really good boxer?
He was a really good boxer. So he fought, you know, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
In the Rumble in the Jungle, and he was one of the best around.
Wow.
But then, again, similar to a lot of the other ones we just spoke about, he made a comeback when he was well too old and too fat, and he was a bit shit.
How is he fat when he made that grill? Yeah. I thought that was meant to be like to cook healthier.
Lean, mean, fat reducing machine or whatever he calls
yeah.
it.
Yeah, lean, mean fighting machine, yeah. Cracking grills, to be fair.
I wonder if he minds that his legacy is now for a grill.
Made so much money from them, he wouldn't care.
That's true.
And you look back at Muhammad Ali, no one respects him anymore because his pots and pans never did anything, did they?
Do they still exist, the George Foreman grills? Are they still the thing that you can buy in, like, John Lewis?
I was watching a Channel 5 thing, and they sponsored something that I watched the other day, and I was like, oh my God, people still use those.
I don't know what they do, but I know of them, so that's good marketing.
I think it's one of those things, you buy it, you use it for about a month, and then it lives in your cupboard next to the toasty maker.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
And the ice cream maker and the bread. Yeah.
And the little crepe machine.
Oh, that's very swanky.
Okay, so question number 10. You're both doing very well so far in this quiz, actually. You know, after the last few weeks, yeah. I decided to make it a bit easier, but, you know, maybe we'll go back to a bit more harder next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So last question, question number 10. What is curling? I mean, it's difficult to do a right or wrong answer here, really, but I just want a comprehensive description of what curling is.
So curling, you throw a stone, not throw, you kind of push a stone on ice and you try and get it into the centre of a target by using rubber brooms and sweeping it to give it less resistance and friction on the ice to get it to where it needs to go.
Amy, do you agree or do you think it's something else?
Well, my description was just some wallies on ice with broomsticks, but that was far more accurate. But yeah, same thing, really.
Yeah, so curling, exactly that. Yeah, they push it. Do you know what the stone's made out of?
Is it marble?
No, close. It's
granite. Yeah, it looks nice. Granite, yeah. You know what? Whenever I watch it, I go, that'd make a lovely worktop.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wonder who came up with it, the idea. It just doesn't... It's quite bizarre.
I just wonder how it's taken breakdancing so long to get into the Olympics when that has been in it for ages. And depressingly, we do quite well in curling, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Mainly Scotland. Scottish yeah. people. So, you know, they count as GB, obviously. It's a strange one, isn't it? It's kind of like where it originated was probably from some kitchen fitters on a cold day, had some spare granite.
It's had an idea. Give it a go.
How do you get into the England team? Do they just, do you reckon, the Great Britain team, do you reckon they just go around someone's house? They're like, Janet, this place is immaculate.
You know what you'd be good at.
Do you remember that show, The Jump? You know, the skiing show?
Yeah.
It was really dangerous and people nearly died. They should have just put curling in just to like take it down a couple of notches.
That would have been quite funny. I would like to see...
celebrity curling.
Yeah, Wayne Lineker curling. That is something I would like to see.
We're back to Wayne Lineker.
All sports are better with Wayne Lineker.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gary could commentate. It's a win-win.
What I do like about it as well, though, is it's not like in other sports where, you know, footballers are past their prime in their mid-30s. Like, you don't get to your mid-curling prime until you're 55 and called Sue. Like, it's when you look at the curling teams, it's sort of all lovely WI members.
Yeah, it's old ginger Scottish
is
women.
Is it?
Yeah,
is it women? Like, I always feel like it's furious men. Like, I feel like I've not seen many women do it.
Well, maybe, you're the person that, you know, you're the person that drives the Zamboni after ice skating. One day it's broken, you've still got to clean the ice, and you get out there and you go, hang on a second.
Yeah.
I am brilliant at this manually.
Yeah.
Zamboni. Now, there's a term, Matt.
Zamboni.
How did you know what that is? I guessed what it is, the thing that cleans the ice, right?
Yeah, the big machine that goes around and cleans the ice. The only reason I know that is because I've lived in an ice rink for 10 weeks.
Okay, so successful quiz Akabusi for both of you there. You both did very well. Amy got 8 and Matt, you got 7.
Hey! It's got close. You're
inching away from me still. You're one more away.
That's what I do.
Creeping away. So the total scores are now 46-41.
Nice. Happy with that?
So 46-41,
the two youngest people on the British curling team.
Yeah. You know, we gave Amy a task last week to do a nutmeg, I think, and video it. I think the task for Matt should be to take something onto the ice rink and mock up some curling.
That is a great idea.
I'm absolutely going to do that this week.
And you get a bonus point for that, so just to get you back on track.
All right, dear.
I'm still going to try my nutmeg. I'm going to try harder, I promise. Okay, well, that was slightly more successful than last week. And thank you once again, Dylan, for informing us of, all sorts this week. I feel a lot more educated about curling for a start, which is something I didn't know much about.
When I first said it would be fun to do this podcast, I thought we would just be talking about like rugby and football every week. But every week, it's curling, it's snooker, it's chess. This is joyous for me.
And now breakdancing as well. I mean, that is an absolute, that's a curveball as well.
There are so many stupid sports.
Just gets ridiculous, more ridiculous by the week. Yeah.
Sports for idiots, isn't it? So I'm well in.
It's almost like we're close to starting to watch it, Matt, I think.
Yeah, I think we should start with the fringe sports. I'll tell you what I did watch this week, and I think we should talk about next week. Competitive tag.
Oh, yeah.
What? Is that an actual thing?
It's on like Sky Sports 9, and it's amazing.
It's quite intense, isn't it?
It's like gymnastics and running, and it's phenomenal.
The thought of it stresses me out a little bit. Do they have like little ribbons on the back, like at school when you used to have to play tag?
No. What do you mean little ribbons?
To touch them?
Yeah, no, at school we used to have like ribbons or whatever. I don't know what they were. And you'd hang them out your back of your shorts and then you'd run around and you had to pull the ribbons out. Did you not do that? Oh my God, what was wrong with my school?
That sounds like it could go wrong really easily as well, Amy.
No, Amy, that's what tag rugby is. But this one, they're calling it tag. When I was a kid, we used to call it touch.
We called it tig.
Oh, tig. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
I was pretty big on the British bulldog scene in the playground, if I'm honest. So
really?
Well, you know what? I really was.
The 2038 Olympics, you're going to be there, Amy.
Absolutely. I'm championing that. I'd be up for that. I feel like I really got quite good at it as well.
When you say pretty big on British bulldogs, yes. You mean you were like small, nimble, nobody could catch you?
Yes. Or you could like anyone? I'd be at the front. I'd be like, let's have it. Come on. Yeah, I was well up for it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You are the least let's have it.
No, I'm small and angry, Matt. Honestly, I'm perfect for it.
British Bulldog in my school was brutal. No holds barred. It was like a war zone. Yeah. It was basically an excuse for a fight.
Yeah, it was such chaos in our school. We didn't call it Bulldog. We called it the Somme.
It's a bit dark. Where did you go to Eton or something? Oh, let's call it Somme.
I did. No, because you got to remember, the people at Eton don't play British Bulldog. They send the poor people to fight for them. did I go to Eton? I mean, my parents would be so disappointed with my career if I did.
What are you talking about? You're on Sports Virgins with Jargon Klopp. You've made it. Okay, guys. Well, good luck on the curling and the nutmegging this week. Hopefully we'll have more to report on that in the next episode. What an exciting time ahead for us all. Thank you for listening to Sports Virgins, a Pomodo production. Please follow us and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on your social media platform of choice. We are at Sports Virgins. Follow us, tell us some sports facts, or more preferably, tell us that you know less than us.
That would help. Or any kind of sporting stupidity, please.